There's four of you too, which is good. So.
All right, we're live. So we'll see some attendees coming here soon. Knock on wood.
I will let the screen populate before I call the meeting to order. Hey, Tina, greetings.
Hi, Jack.
Kind of.
Yeah, exactly. In our weird new world of greeting. Hopefully not for much longer.
Yeah.
You look like you're in a rainforest.
I know. My daughter took that picture. That's our driveway going up to our house.
Oh, is it really? Wow, beautiful. Yeah.
Let me just get out of the way.
Okay, well, we have our consultant team is in attendance. Looks like those are the only attendees.
Okay. Dustin,
Dad, and Elizabeth, right?
Elizabeth is on consulting team.
Oh, okay. So all three, do you want me to promote them now or do you want me to promote them after you do other business?
I can promote them.
Okay.
Abby, I see that you're there, not in person, but I mean, in real life, I see your screen. Welcome. Nathan, hey there, hello.
Hey, how are you, Jack?
Doing well. Let's, as the screen populates here, let's go ahead and call the meeting to order. Does everyone have the packet that was emailed out? So you have our agenda, prior meeting minutes. Good. So, Dustin, we don't have an audience. So as far as items from the audience, do you just want to address some of the subsections of this underneath the agenda?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I think we have, since we have no audience, we really have kind of a three-part meeting. We're joined by Elizabeth Betts from Klein, Nathan Polansky, and Alex Stupi from MIG in their respective states. This represents some of the core consulting team that's been on task at this point as part of phase one. Purpose of the meeting tonight really is to share with you what we've heard in terms of the survey results and some of the outreach that's been done. What do we see as future outreach, some needs, what we've learned from our outreach, probably some areas that we think we need to supplement, follow up on the goals, and then really take some opportunity to pull some outreach from you all as respective members of the committee, really good point people for on the ground awareness, some of your business interests, your contacts, solicit some input from you all, really as stakeholders in this, and help see if we, if we have any blind spots in this, and really help broaden some of the input that is going into informing the goals and going into informing some of these concepts and understanding. So I think that's by way of introduction, kind of really the goals of the meeting. So we'll turn it back over to you, or let you turn it over to the consultants when we're ready.
So are there any corrections or additions to the agenda from the members that are here? Okay.
I don't see any.
Has everyone had a chance to review the minutes from our January 21st meeting?
Yeah.
Yeah. I move that we approve the minutes as presented. This is Pat.
Thank you, Pat. Do we have a second?
I can second that.
Thank you. All in favor? Aye.
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 Okay. All right, Dustin, I'll turn it back over to you now.
Sorry, I jumped right ahead of the substance. I appreciate doing the minutes. I think we're all here to work on some of the phase one of the project. So we gave some introductions. Nathan and Alex, I don't know who's gonna speak first on behalf, or Elizabeth, who's gonna run some of the stakeholder input, but.
Yeah.
We know we can
take it away if people are ready. So maybe a kind of quick question, just want to curious, was everyone able to kind of review kind of the packet material that we sent over, and or was anyone not able to, I guess is maybe kind of a quick question. And okay.
I didn't get to do it yet. Sorry.
Okay. No, that's fine. And the reason I wanted to ask is we're going to do a kind of a fairly quick run through of kind of what we've heard to date through the community outreach. And what we want to do is spend a majority of our time talking about the preliminary project goals and kind of taking your feedback so that we can take kind of refine those as needed and then be able to take those to the board. That's kind of like the, you know, what we're looking for as kind of approval from the board kind of to move forward with phase two. So that gives us a good understanding of just kind of what we're looking at today. All right, I'm going to share my screen and kind of go through a presentation, and I'll let Alex kind of kick us off. All right. Alex, you're on mute.
That a little bit better. It's either on top of my head or I'm on mute. So yeah, lose both ways. I'll start over. Well, thank you, committee, for having us in tonight. I believe we have about an hour, maybe just a little bit more, to step through these kind of key elements. And I think the goals for tonight are twofold. One is to update you on the public engagement results. We have both public involvement from the survey that we did. We'll show some results of that, but also a number of you were part of stakeholder meetings as well too. We want to discuss that a little bit more because we want to do more business outreach as a part of those stakeholder meetings. So we're going to brainstorm with you a bit about that. We do want to spend the majority of time looking at vision and goals. Part of that was from the original meeting that we had with the URAB and URAC back in February. So we want to talk a little bit about some of those outcomes, but really to get to the end of tonight with agreement on project goals moving forward. As Nathan mentioned, ultimately these need to be approved by the board before we move into the next phase of work. These are also very important because they really, you know, give us a structure for how we develop our concepts moving into the next phase. So we're going to step through each of those. Feel free to ask questions as we go through. Be happy to answer that. But you know, as I said, the outcome of tonight, the desired outcome tonight, is to step through each of the goals, get your input, be able to amend those, and then to be able to present to the board in the next few weeks. All right.
All right. So I'll just kind of remind folks where we are. You know, when we first met, as kind of project kickoff with the board, we talked about this kind of being a three-phase project. This first phase is really about kind of establishing kind of goals for the project, kind of getting a big good baseline understanding of the existing needs and opportunities and kind of that community outreach. So we're kind of in this zone right now. We had the online survey was open in March. We started stakeholder meetings with a couple meetings in April led by the Nextdoor. Those were in Spanish sessions. And then we've had four over the last couple of weeks. We're meeting with you guys here tonight, and we're looking at, you know, we are on the schedule for June 14th to meet with the board. Again, that's where we'll be taking kind of preliminary goals based on phase one outreach. Just kind of reframe everyone's setting. You know, we're looking at the kind of heights along 12th and 13th between May at the north and Belmont Union, and where the 12th and 13th come back together at the south end, and including those streets, east-west streets in between Taylor, C, B, and A. So that's our project area. We're focused on public right-of-way improvements within that. When we met, I think it was a February date, we kind of had that first kind of brainstorm exercise with both the advisory committee and the board. And we kind of talked, we asked, you know, what are some things that come to mind today for the heights, and, you know, parking, fast traffic, access to the valley, kind of pedestrian corridor, unsafe. You know, this is just a word cloud from all the things that we took down in the conversation that we had from the notes. And when we think about, you know, what does the community and want this to be in 20 years, you know, something that has improved access, more of a kind of enhances kind of continued commercial district, safe routes, parking is something that really stands out again, even in 20 years. And it's something that we've heard over the last couple of weeks from the different stakeholders that we've been involved in. So you kind of see some things that kind of from that first kind of brainstorm session and information gathering state, some things that change. We had a very productive online survey. We were live for 3 weeks in March. It was available in both in Spanish and English. The dots that are represented on the map here show where participants, respondents lived in the area. So kind of we got a good representation, not just from the Heights, but also from areas outside of the Heights. We did kind of have pushed some materials out both on social media and post some signs kind of advertising this both in English and Spanish. The survey was available in Spanish. Of the almost 350 responses that we got, one thing that kind of hit us right in the face was that there were no completed responses in Spanish. And so, you know, when we think about Alex mentioned some of the additional kind of outreach strategies that we want to do, both in phase one, but also looking forward, how are we making sure that we're getting a kind of broad representation of the community? And, you know, I think one of the things that helps for this first phase is we did have great participation from the two next door facilitated stakeholder meetings that were kind of in Spanish. So that's kind of one thing that we want to make sure we are thinking about moving forward. Some of the key takeaways from that online survey, you know, a lot of the same things that we've heard and you guys have been discussing over multiple years, slowing traffic, creating safer streets and intersections, particularly moving people across from east to west, promoting a livable community. Those first three were also the kind of the project goals that were most important to survey participants. There were some bar charts that were included in your packet that kind of showed a breakdown of all of the responses that we got. Other important takeaways, you know, making sure that we're supporting local businesses, the parking associated with that. And then how can we improve safety for kind of all modes of traffic? Walking, driving, and biking. Specific to the walking, you know, one of the things that maybe it wasn't that surprising, but when you kind of, you know, we asked people to put pins on the map and draw routes, and what became very clear was that there were no established or set patterns within the Heights. All of the kind of intersections and routes from a walking standpoint are used really well. There are a few things that kind of stand out as being some things that we want to look into, some of these kind of like mid-block things that look a little bit unique. But all of the intersections need to be improved for safety and visibility, particularly crossing east-west. And those were reinforced at our stakeholder meetings. Traffic, people walking and driving both thought traffic was fast, and you know, slowing traffic was something that was needed. And then looking for opportunities to add street elements and enhance that kind of existing streetscape experience for people walking. From people biking, again, a lot of routes that kind of are a lot of the intersection of the streets that kind of look the same. When we dug into the comments, there were a couple of things that really stood out for the people cycling, particularly when we think about east-west movements across the corridors. And that was, you know, the Pine and Taylor corridor that I know we've heard a lot about. It's been included in past demonstration projects, but then also A and Wilson. And so those kind of, in addition to May and Belmont and Union, stood out as kind of key corridors that we're gonna be focused on to kind of enhance those connections. And you know, those are driven to some extent by the kind of context and neighborhood destinations, kind of May Street Elementary School, the park, getting down to the Indian Creek Trail to the south end. People also, you know, providing safe, comfortable places to bike. and really at intersections, how can we design those to reduce conflicts? You can see the ones that on the kind of heat map that stand out, are the ones that you would expect them to do kind of, you know, at the south end down near Belmont, this kind of A and Wilson, you kind of see those pop up a little bit. Pine and Taylor sticks out. This is another one that kind of mid-block is happening in here. So we want to kind of dive into that a little bit better. And I hope you're able to see my cursor, as I say, down here, but in between Hull and C, and then May Street. For people driving, again, the kind of, it was very interesting to hear kind of repeat feedback from people driving, kind of poor sight lines, maybe not surprising, but good to hear, you know, fast traffic, need better sight lines. It's hard to see people parking. One of the things that was interesting and that we heard through stakeholder meetings is that, you know, while parking, people may have kind of different thoughts on kind of how utilized the parking is. One of the things that became clear is people like to park on the side of the street where the business that they're stopping because it's really hard and uncomfortable to cross the street. Visibility, traffic flow, you know, there are some key intersections, you know, at May and Belmont and Union that are definitely need improvements. And those are ones that we're going to be focusing on the concept development and, you know, reinforces the things that we plan for when we scope the project. From an economic development standpoint, consistent feedback kind of to make sure that we're kind of, you know, maintaining and to the extent that we can, improving access to businesses, maintaining and improving the views to businesses. There was a little bit less interest in kind of the creating an identity and kind of character and kind of thinking about streetscape furnishings as a kind of unifying element when we compared it to some of the other priorities, but it was one that was repeated throughout the feedback. So that's kind of the kind of very fast overview of the online survey. The stakeholder meetings that we've had to date. So the first two meetings were the Latinos in Acción community member group. So that was the next door led meeting in Spanish, and then the Latino businesses in the project area. I want to say there were 14 potentially business members. I don't remember the numbers offhand. I should quote a number.
I think one had about 8 and the other has around 5 or so, you know, those groups, yeah.
So we had good participation there. We met with the Landmarks board. They provided fantastic insight on the kind of history of the area, and it was really interesting to hear a couple of the community members really talk about the kind of historical development of the infrastructure and the street network and kind of how, at least, you know, from one or two people's perspectives, that sort of has informed the way traffic moves today. Some of the things that we talked about are the culvert at May to the west of 13th and the culvert for Indian Creek to the south, and kind of how those things plus the couplet really kind of, you know, allowed enhanced access between neighborhoods, but it also, you know, obviously, and at the time kind of was focused on moving cars, but that's something that hasn't changed. We also talked a little bit about kind of land use with the Landmarks board. A couple of the members, I want to say two of them are architects, or at least one of them, and kind of, you know, they are thinking about land use and future build out and kind of, at least, you know, I don't know that the long-term build out's going to align with the, you know, 5-story buildings everywhere, but kind of making sure we understand that that is part of the land use and there could be that development. We met with a small group of kind of residents, community members from the Up Valley, and kind of gave us good insights on kind of some of their needs. And then also with the community organizations, Engage the Gorge, Thrive, and Streets Alive, and I think those are the three. But one of the things that we weren't able to do, and we're hoping to kind of talk with you guys a little bit about, is kind of business stakeholders. We had one participant at the business stakeholder meeting. It was the kind of new director of Visit Hood River. And so what we really want to do is figure out how we can get some more business owners to the conversation. You know, some of the things that we want to hear from them are kind of, you know, how did their deliveries happen? How are people accessing their businesses? So that we understand, you know, how are alleys used? What's this kind of impact of parking? Things that are going to inform the concepts that we're looking at. So I know there are a couple of two or three business owners on the ERAC. So one of the things that we're, we've talked about with Dustin and Will right now about is, you know, at a minimum, delivering a letter to the business and property owners along the corridor, basically kind of, you know, requesting, you know, their kind of opportunity to provide feedback. With kind of the questions that we developed for the stakeholder meeting, we can kind of, we've got kind of business set questions and we kind of send that out. But kind of curious maybe right now just to kind of open it up to some conversation and kind of get any thoughts from folks. And Alex, you know, and Dustin, please feel free to kind of chime in with anything that I've kind of missed or kind of that we want to ask.
And I think the thanks, Nathan. I think the piece with this is we did invite a number of businesses, the Latino owned businesses. Nextdoor was able to reach out and we got some great input from them, kind of how they operate within the Heights and kind of specific issues that they have to deal with, you know, on a regular basis. I think the question is for this, as we get into concept development, is we want to really make sure that we understand key issues for other businesses that didn't attend the stakeholder meeting. And so as Nathan mentioned, we're sending out a letter with a survey there that can be dropped off at Elizabeth's office, which is right in the Heights itself. We were also thinking of, you know, if there's other ways to, you know, we could set up phone calls, talk through with key issues, you know, whatever we think makes the most sense. But it is a kind of a, we think it's a bit of a missing piece right now that we want to make sure that we do our best to get as much input in as possible now before we get into the end where we have a recommended concept and, you know, people said they weren't informed about that. So that's the, it's important that we do this at this early stage to understand issues.
Yeah, and I'll kind of take it back to this slide. Just so you know, we mentioned the Landmarks Board. I'm not sure if you're aware who's all on it, but it does include the former mayor, Arthur Babbitts, Cindy Walbridge, who is the planning director for 28 years here, Jeff Dellis, who's a local architect who worked for Klein and was essentially a business resident, if you will, within the Heights. Then Bill Pattison, long time city resident, who was here when they used to hitch horses. Maybe not that long, but a longstanding community member that they have good history. We consider them some of the professor emeritus group, that had been around. There, none of them are particularly active in terms of current, business, but in terms of longstanding history, all have a lot to offer. Another piece from a couple slides ago regarding input. This is not this is not the end. Phase one is not the end of the input stage. I think it's important to note that as there's a lot of emphasis put into the input and survey and gathering of information, but it's not the only point within the phase of this, of the next phases of project where there'll be input to be provided. And I think we have a couple of workshops that show up, maybe hopefully under the impression that we will actually see each other in person and be able to engage in the more conventional analog world with those pieces. So it's not the end of input. It's just a really important stage that we want to launch those concepts and designs based on good sound input.
Yeah. Thanks, Dustin. And that's correct. We do have, hopefully this summer after we have either an in-person or virtual meeting to talk about concepts. So we will be coming back out for review on those elements. Then when we get to recommended alternative, you know, recommended option there as well too. So Dustin, you're absolutely right. This early input helps us set the trajectory and then future meetings start to talk about options and then, you know, choices that we'll be making.
I have one question concerning the businesses you're going to send a letter to. Is that the businesses from May to Belmont, or is that all businesses within the urban growth, or not their urban renewal area, which goes clear out to Elliott and down to Cascade?
So from a business standpoint, that would be businesses within the project area, which is essentially May to Belmont. And so that's because what we really want to know is, like, for example, how do they get their deliveries? You know, how do they use their alleys? What about on-street parking? You know, how does their business function within the, in the relation to the streetscape? We have reached out, you know, with some other people, like with Up Valley folks, about how they come through the area or visit it. But for the businesses specifically, we want to reach out to those, you know, potentially actually exactly right within the corridors we're working in.
Well, then that should include businesses to the south of that too, because that's their main corridor coming through.
Okay, thank you.
Hey, Pat, and you guys, this is Clint. I'm sorry, I don't have a video. I'm still trying to hook up the computer. I really appreciate that question. And I've been surveying some of our delivery drivers that have biggest trucks that come down 12. And I think those viewpoints are really valid. And also the deliveries that go to downtown and other places. It's a great question. So I'm trying to keep track of that, but we only have about 4 or 5 companies that use long trucks that come in.
Okay. Do you have a contact list that can be shared with our project team and with Dustin? So
yes. Should I send that to Dustin?
Yeah, that'd be great.
Yep, we'll do.
One of our business outreach was, you know, understand that the impact was not just within the district itself, but kind of a broader. That's one of the reasons why we targeted the chamber, trying to get a more global, or chambers, and trying to get some of those more global perspectives, to not be so focused on who had space. And again, some of that had varying, I guess, the amount and that we were able to gather from that in terms of helping varied.
So to kind of just address the reaching out to businesses and getting input and engagement, I don't know what you did before besides the chamber and the Heights Business Association, which really doesn't even exist right now. So to me, as a business owner, like, you know, I understand I'm on this committee, so maybe I wasn't a priority, but I also don't know other businesses who were contacted directly. So I think definitely direct contact to businesses and not relying on third parties, or like, I guess that would be a third party, like chamber or other organizations to reach out to them. Like, you know, that's not their thing. I don't know. Also, if you're not a member of those things, your voice still counts if you're not paying to be a member of a club. So, you know, we should talk to all the people that have businesses there. I personally, like I mentioned to Dustin, like I'm happy to go out and talk to other business owners and just let them know that this is happening. I think that's helpful, like a personal connection, and not just like, oh, I got this thing in the mail, or, you know, I got this, maybe even email, but like stopping by, saying hi, and like, hey, I'm sure you know this is happening. Another thing is that this has been going on for so long. You know, we've been doing these, like, we want your input. You know, the workshop was, somebody said, I don't know, I guess that was more recent, but there's like workshops that have been as long ago as like 2017. That was like 4 years ago. Like, people, I think, are kind of getting on the, like, told you, yeah. Like, and we just keep getting asked what the questions are, and we don't see anything happening. So why are we still on this step? And like, I understand why we're here, but I'm also very involved with this process. So like, I get it, but I think, like, you know, a lot of people just are ready to move on. And but anyway, I do want to get input from like all the businesses, and I think that personal connection is a really important way to do it. And like I said, I'm happy to volunteer myself to walk around. I know quite a few people. I can just pop in, say hi, whatever, email. from me, or, you know, I don't know if that's appropriate, but I'm happy to help if I can. So
that would be fantastic. I think totally agree with everything that you just said, and would really appreciate your willingness to do that.
And so, Dustin, from just a logistics standpoint, so I know, Elizabeth, we were talking to you about, you know, just walking around and dropping off those letters at the businesses and allowing them to come in. We could also have others do outreach as well, too. I think the goal for this is to get as much input as we can. We don't expect everybody is going to respond, but, you know, we want to make sure that we provide as much opportunity to be able to do that. And I appreciate the people do get overwhelmed. It's like, didn't I just answer this question? It's like, maybe, but we want to make sure that, you know, this specifically, because there will be some changes likely in the corridor, and we want to make sure that we have as much input now as possible. So, yeah, Dustin, maybe we can coordinate with you for kind of what that looks like and to get that through. And Amanda, I appreciate the offer to go out and do that as well. All right. Anything else on stakeholder meetings? Nathan, are you going to say something?
No, I was just going to say the same question.
I guess the only thing I would add is, they're not really businesses, but in terms of stakeholders, the schools, you know, this is such an integral part for both our junior high school and one of our grade schools. And I don't know if we've talked to like the superintendent or the parent teacher organizations who are, you know, navigating this place to drop off their kids every day or trying to get their kids to ride their bikes. I don't know if they've been involved yet.
They sort of have informally, you know, there's kind of parallel to our work is there's the Safe Routes to Schools project that's going on.
Yeah.
And so what yesterday and today were the, I think, in-person walk audits for the two schools. There was one yesterday, one today. And so we've been coordinating with their team, that consultant team, but we haven't, and we're kind of have been kind of assuming that outreach kind of counted for that. So we haven't been direct to principals, but kind of hoping that kind of all of the information that Safe Routes Group is covering would be kind of more comprehensive than we might get.
One crossover with that specifically are some of the routing pieces that we got through the survey. I know that's something that will be of interest for how people get across the corridor. Yeah. I know we've heard that from some stakeholders as well.
Okay. Yeah. I just didn't know if that was comprehensive, if those were specific routes or if that also encompassed, you know, all these parents trying to figure out how the various ways their kids can get to school. So I don't know if maybe the PTO might be I think that's a pretty active group. If they might be worth reaching out to in addition to the Safe Routes contact.
Okay. Great. Yeah. And then, you know, the one other one that we haven't mentioned yet, that we did have a call with, Transit, CAT Transit, on Tuesday, and had a kind of good feedback for them, kind of understanding their kind of, they changed their route in the last year and kind of talked a little bit about that, kind of what their long-term plans are. They're going to be sending us over, kind of, they got, I forget how many, they've just bought some new vehicles that they're going to be using that I think are a little bit bigger than the ones they have, and going to get us the kind of specs and turning movements on those that will kind of inform kind of design work.
Awesome.
So that was a very, very productive.
We definitely see there's on the school side, with the Safe Routes project impacting May Street University, May Street Middle, and that corridor really, and with the Safe Routes project getting, you know, kids and families to there's really an inherent, you know, it's overlap is almost an understatement in some ways. So, you know, John is on the line here, but we definitely share information. They have this packet. We already coordinate. So we're coordinating on the project team side, on the city side, to just, they're just inherently linked together in so many ways. So
I just had a thought about maybe thinking sideways from the box about how to get feedback. It's unfortunate that to get current feedback, you have to almost tell people they don't have the choice anymore. And then they come in loud and clear. But what would there be an opportunity to put like a QR code on a post and a sign at the really over-identified critical corners along this corridor on both 12th and 13th and say, hey, are you interested in giving us 30-second video or answering three questions about crossing the street here? Here's the link. Is that something we could do?
I think it's something, we could talk about and see kind of how that would come together.
I don't know how that would work, what it would look like, but yeah. It seems like
we could also just kind of thinking moving forward, like when we do want kind of, maybe it's less kind of site specific information, but or maybe when there's concepts that are out and we've started developing concepts, that's a way to engage people at those intersections. Mm-hmm. I like the idea of that. And I know personally, I hadn't used QR codes prior to this last year a whole lot. So I think everyone has a better familiarity with them. And all I have to do is open my camera. But I think that's a great suggestion and something that would be neat to get comments and drive people to concepts when we're at that.
It's so immediate, you know. Yep. It's not, oh, I'll put that off and do it tonight. Well, I'm standing right here with my phone in my hand anyway. I might as well just, you know, answer three questions. Yeah.
You know, we could drive them. We use QR codes a lot to drive them to the website. And so, mm-hmm. you know, tell us, and then there's comments at the website, or they could drop a photo or, you know, whatever. There's ways we could set that up to probably do that. That's a great, that's a great suggestion. Thank you.
And we should, because everyone looks at the ground, we should get little pavement marking ones that we can spray paint down. So that way they can see it while they're not looking up.
Oh, we want them looking up. We don't want them looking at the ground. This is a part of the safety issue. You know, it's eyes up. One thing we do have too is, you know, we are always, we have an ongoing comment section on the website. So even though the survey is done, like there's still open form for people to submit. So maybe that could be the opportunity, if we're going to drive them somewhere, drive them to the place today where we still are taking comments.
Yeah. I think it's a great idea.
Maybe every time we do a project website update and kind of post stuff, we could put some new signs out. All right. I do want to keep us moving. We're 10 after 6, and I want to make sure we have enough time to talk about goals. This last slide that I brought up was kind of basically kind of some of the things that we included in your packet. Alex does these phenomenal kind of graphic recording, kind of, Dustin refers to them as graffitis, of the kind of project map area. So that's kind of just kind of a summary and some of the key bullets, kind of takeaways from our stakeholder meetings. But with that, I want to kind of turn this over to Alex to kind of talk through kind of goal conversation.
Yeah, thanks, Nathan. So the just to kind of talk about process of, you know, where we started, you know, as Nathan mentioned, back in February when we met with you and the board to, you know, define kind of what the Heights is today versus what it is in 20 years. That was one exercise that we did that Nathan presented on. The other piece was to look at the broader urban renewal Heights or the Heights urban renewal district goals. You have 7 goals within the plan that cover not just the Heights, kind of the core area that we're focusing on, but, you know, really that broader urban renewal area. Those goals are broad. And so one of those exercises that we did was to talk about how those goals actually apply to this project specifically. So what we're doing with that exercise was to tie those broader goals down to the project level. And so we did that in February. We used those goals within the survey. So that online survey included a series of 7 refined goals from that kickoff meeting with you and the board to get input from the community about, you know, one, what was most important out of those goals, and then two, you know, how should those goals be framed for this project specifically. So what we're going to present tonight is that, you know, that third block under URAC, which is we're actually reviewing those draft goals. And then the reason why this is important is that those goals set really the, you know, as I said, the trajectory for how this project moves forward into concept development. And as we get into phase 2, we'll start to develop evaluation criteria for actually assessing how each of these concepts, you know, live up to each of these pieces. So as we started with very broad concepts, and those are those goals. We've refined that down to be specific to the Heights streetscape plan. And then we're going to spend the next half hour or so stepping through each of those. Ultimately, on the 14th, we want to take the recommendations from this group to the board for what those goals are so that we can make any final modifications and then move into phase 2, which is the design. So I just want to, the only reason this, I'm showing this graphic is just to show that everything that you've done early on to adopt the urban renewal plan is still within this project. We've just refined that to be specific for this area that we're talking about now. So before we step into these, so there are seven goals that we're going to step through, and we'll take notes as we go through for each of these questions. Four of these goals we've identified as priority community goals, and those goals really rose to the top, both out of the stakeholder meetings that Nathan just talked about, as well as the community survey. So in addition to language that we asked about the goals, we also asked what was the most important. So the first goals essentially were high priorities for the community. And so it doesn't mean that all these goals are important. It just means that those four really kind of stood out from what people felt were the most important.
So one other thing I'll add is there are two of these goals that we've tweaked over the last month based on stakeholder feedback. And so the underlying text is what we've added based on kind of realizing there were kind of slight gaps in the original goal statement.
Great. So what I'd like to do is we have about another half hour, 40 minutes or so. I'd like to step through each one of these, and we can stop and pause at each one and just talk about briefly about them. I think the thing to keep in mind with these goals is that these are broad kind of umbrella statements. They're not meant to be specific discussions about an intersection, for example, or you know, specific treatments. We'll get into that. These are really to help us provide direction for the project. So keep that in mind as we step through that these are broad. And so what we want to make sure from you is that they generally meet what you think is the most important for these specific elements.
Alex, would it make sense to read through all these real quickly and then come back?
Yeah, sure. That sounds good. I'll summarize. So project goal one dealt with community livability. And so this one, goal one, which was the highest priority of folks who did the survey, preserve and promote a livable community through streetscape improvements that balance safety and access for people walking and biking, with parking needs to support access to local businesses and future mixed-use development. So it's a pretty broad statement. Goal two focused on identity. This was, should be create an identity for the Heights that reflects the diverse culture and history of the area's destination for local residents. So now remember in the survey, this was important, but not as important, but this was very important for both the board and the committee during our kickoff, as well as being important for the stakeholders that were interviewed as well too. So that's one reason why this has risen up as a priority community goal. Goal three, create streets and gathering spaces that provide safe, comfortable places for people walking and biking along and across the corridor, and that connects area, recreation, and commercial destinations in the city and destinations and neighborhoods. Again, this goal focused on some of those recreation elements, but also knowing that this is a streetscape plan, it's really more those connections between to and through. There are those kind of gathering spaces that are smaller along the street, but this kind of specifies what we're talking about when we talk about recreation through the area. Project goal four, calm traffic and improve intersections to improve safety for people driving, walking, and biking. That was an important goal for everybody. That's a very specific goal in terms of what it's asking. Next one. And then these next seven goals, also important, but not identified as priority goals. Ones that we'll still need to address as a part of this. But to be honest, I think some of these are either expected or not sexy. So like goal five, support existing and future development by maintaining and improving utilities as a part of the streetscape project. That's stuff we would do. It's necessary. It's like putting plumbing in your house. You need it, but it's not the thing that always rises to the top in terms of a fresh coat of paint or a new kitchen. Goal six, engage local residents and businesses, the school district, and those that use the corridor to provide input on the streetscape project. Again, very important. We've talked a lot about that tonight. That'll continue through this project, and we'll continue to assess and maintain to make sure that we have good input throughout. And then finally, provide connections for people to gather, stop, and rest. So that gets a little bit to that recreation piece early on, but also the fact that we want to make sure that this is inviting, but also, you know, it's a place for the community, that the streetscape really does embolden and enliven that. So those are the 7 goals. Great, thank you, Nathan. So let's start back at goal 1. So I'll read it again. Preserve and promote a livable community through streetscape improvements that balance safety and access for people walking and biking with parking needs to support access to local businesses and future mixed-use development. So this gets to development, kind of gets to broader livability factors, safety to some degree. This is really kind of our urban form goal. I think that's probably the...
And this change, that underlined piece kind of was making sure that parking was specifically addressed in one of these goals. And so that's kind of how do we, you know, it's, you know, how do we balance the kind of 50 pounds of stuff that we have to put into our 10-pound bag, recognizing we've got a 60-foot right of way, and we have a lot of things that we're going to have to try to balance and kind of figure out how to kind of trade off.
Any questions or comments about this goal?
These all look apparently to me like exactly what we wanted and in the right order. I would say that maybe goal 1 is more like the overarching goal of that incorporates all the rest of them. But for what it's worth, it looks great.
I have a question about parking. And one thing... why am I drawing a blank? The walkability study that was a few years ago. Mm-hmm. One of the things that was discussed during that was the potential of back end parking on one side of 12th and 13th and creating a bike lane on the other. I've never seen I've never seen a reflection of the parking that would be lost or gained. There was also discussions of turning the east-west streets between 12th and 13th one ways and have back-end parking on those to kind of, the idea was to increase parking, but to establish a bike lane in the Heights. Mm-hmm. So, do you guys have that metric?
No, we don't. So one of the things that we have from the stakeholder meetings over the last couple of weeks that we were talking about with Dustin and Will is, I think what's come up is the need for some sort of parking usage evaluation, not a full-blown study, I don't think. So we're looking at and kind of do feel there needs to be something that we do to kind of set that baseline existing condition number. So when we're looking at things, people understand that there's kind of been a usage evaluation. So that's kind of, we are headed in that direction to do something related to kind of proposed configurations. And I think as we develop concepts, that's, we're going to need to think about presenting parking in that manner. So the existing conditions had 200 stalls or 150, and this one has 130 or 160. I think that needs to be part of the conversation, considering how important parking is. Related to the specific concepts that we're looking at, I think, you know, one way on the side streets and angle parking, yes, I think we want to think about, you know, does that fit with one of these alternatives? Back and angle parking, 12th or 13th, the ODOT design manual actually requires a design deviation for angle parking on state highways. So as we get into kind of the process and the coordination with ODOT, and one of the meetings that we're going to be having in the next couple of months is kind of I think we talked about it previously and when we were talking about scope, but kind of this informational kind of design process, kind of jurisdictional understanding of how this process moves forward for the URAB and the URAC. And so right now we have reached out to ODOT to kind of get some preliminary questions asked to kind of help facilitate that meeting with us. But yeah, angle parking is something that requires a deviation right now on the state highway.
And I think the kind of more broadly, those will be part of evaluation criteria. So in terms of the goal, you know, identifying that parking needs. I think, Chair, that's something that came through loud and clear from most of the stakeholders, either for or against. I don't think from a parking standpoint, there was no consensus on which way to go for parking. And so we thought it was important to have it in a goal to be able to address that in some fashion, in whatever form that ends up being. But that's why we elevated it to the goal level at this point.
And I think just having a quantifiable number showing a net gain or loss, that'll be important for us moving forward as well.
Great. Thank you.
Yeah. And I would add to Jack's point, I feel like a little bit, this has become an issue of, you know, pro parking versus anti-parking or something.
Yeah.
And I think it would be great if this project could sort of reflect the idea of expanding the sort of the thought process of how we can handle parking. You know, whether it is the angled parking or around the corner parking, or I know like Strong Towns has always had really interesting articles about, you know, people don't think anything of when they go to Walmart that they're walking 100 yards to the front door from their car. But if, yeah, you know, you can put a surface parking lot around the corner and it's still closer to the businesses, but it's just kind of that disconnect, that sort of emotional idea of helping people understand that you can have convenient parking, but it just might not be parallel parking, yeah, on the street, you know? Yeah. So anyway, I think that idea of expanding how we talk about parking is important to not just make it a, you know, either us versus them kind of thing.
Yeah. And, you know, and we're seeing that actually COVID's been a great example. COVID's been bad in a lot of ways, but from how we use public space, it's been very interesting, like how parking has been viewed, you know, yeah, as a community space, or as a business space. So I think what we can do for this is we'll think about metrics or evaluation, either qualitative or quantitative, that we can start to address that. You know, what are the benefits and trade-offs of the various choices? Other questions or comments on goal one? All right. How about goal two? So let's, I know we talked about this in the February meeting. This is one that many people either gravitated towards or have felt, you know, less important, but it's creating an identity, not identify, that's my mistake. Create an identity for the Heights that reflects the diverse culture and history of the area. We heard very strongly from the Landmarks Commission. They showed some great images of the farm to market road that, you know, that 12th was, but also, you know, this area has really become, you know, it's from Latino business community today, agriculture, it's really been a gathering place. So is this goal in line with, you know, what this project should address? And are there changes or considerations we should make, or not modifications we should make to this goal?
I can't remember if we've talked about it in this group, but I know the just anecdotal feedback from living here is a lot of locals are really concerned that if we make this cute, all the tourists are going to start going there. And they like the fact that it's kind of the locals only area.
Yep. Yeah.
Yeah. And I know the Latino community, I saw in some of the comments, their concern is that if we make it cute, they're going to get priced out. Prices are going to go up. Mm-hmm. The restaurants are going to get fancy.
That's the more same concern I've been hearing too.
Yeah.
It's more about function than looks for this area.
Usability for the locals. That's what it's boiling down to.
Yeah.
Do you think, is it, so along those lines, you know, identity, the Heights does have an identity. You know, we just identified it's a local hangout. It's, you know, community serving. Is there something we should consider as a part of this goal? You know, it's different than downtown. We've heard loud and clear from most everybody that it's downtown's one thing, the waterfront's another, you know, this is the Heights is something else entirely.
Electric fences.
we'll put that in the evaluation criteria. Does concept two have electric fences?
So I think this is vague enough to where I think it's good that we have this listed as a project goal, but I think it's vague enough. We talked about in the past, I think we talked about, you know, specific light posts that are different than what's downtown, just making something unique to the Heights. I think Pat, you mentioned parking meters before.
Oh, Jack.
we'll capture that one in goal one, the parking meters. All right. Is it okay to move on to goal three?
Yeah.
All right. So this one gets to, you know, that recreation quality of a streetscape. And so, you know, this is create streets and gathering spaces that provide safe, comfortable places for people walking and biking along and across the corridor, and that connects area recreation and commercial destinations and neighborhoods. So this was, there was a lot of conversation both through the survey and the stakeholder meetings that, you know, people obviously live around. When we talk to residents in the area, they want to be able to get to and fro from either school or the parks, but they also want to also be able to go to the businesses there too safely. So it's the that connectivity piece that the streetscape would provide through bike, better bike and pedestrian amenities, but also it's kind of a core series of connections both north, south, east, west that serves the broader community. And so with this goal, we took that higher level urban renewal goal and really tried to focus it down into how the streetscape creates those connections or provides those smaller gathering spaces along the streetscape, which could be outdoor seating or, you know, things like that. Comments or questions on that one?
Yeah, I think that's good. That falls in line with what we're trying to do.
I'll agree with Jack on that one.
Me too.
All right. This is an easy group.
a lot of us have been on it for so long, it's getting rather repetitious.
There we go. See, I thought we just had written these goals so tightly that it was, you know, but no, that's great. Thank you. All right. So goal four. This one I think is pretty self-explanatory. You know, if you're it's not safe for anybody. We've heard from motorists, pedestrians, cyclists that that, you know, that goal four is calm traffic and improve intersections to improve safety for people driving, walking, and biking. And so, you know, these what we heard from the stakeholder meetings were issues like sight distance. No. If you're driving,
sorry,
you know, how parking is striped or located, it can be challenging. If you're a pedestrian, you're not seen. If you're a cyclist, you might not feel safe riding on the street, so you ride on the sidewalk. So then there's a whole nother issue. So this one, you know, it's kind of gets to the heart of a lot of what this project is, which is, you know, improving safety and accessibility.
Alex, one thing that I would, you know, as we go through these goals, maybe project goal four, I think we need to address commerce as well. That's something that I get a lot of pushback from businesses and some of the businesses up beyond this defined area, like ACE. We need to, it's not just calming traffic for people, but it's for the businesses in this corridor as well as a little bit beyond. We've also gotten some pushback for emergency response vehicles, wanting to make sure that logistically they can get vehicles in and out of the hospital up and down to the Heights.
Chair, can you expand on that just a little bit from business, from commerce? Is it commerce coming in and through, or how, like what are some of the things that you've heard?
Well, Pat, do you want to discuss, you know, yeah, in more detail as far as the equipment that needs to get up to the Heights?
Well, yeah, the big thing from this standpoint with the larger businesses to the south is the number of trucks and commercial traffic. So finding a harmonious connection to make the traffic safer, but yet not impede the commercial traffic that is going through the Heights every day.
Gotcha.
And that's a very key component. And then the thing is with first responders, you know, God forbid that there's ever a fire on the Heights and that, but to be able to have the access for ambulance, fire trucks, so forth, that can safely make it through the Heights in their way to the valley and back to the hospital.
And is that something they've talked about now? Is it as a problem?
Yes, there's been fire at some of our meetings. We've had volunteer firemen, deputy fire chiefs, things like that, talk about that as an issue.
I don't think it's like a current problem. I think they just don't want it to be a problem in the new design.
Right. You know, the big discussion was the one time we were looking at going just to a one lane. And the fire people had a real problem with that. And the ambulance service had a problem with that as well, of being able to get through in a timely manner. The last thing we want to have is Aunt Mary die because we're stuck in traffic and can't get through to the hospital from the Heights.
And we also have some, you showed the traffic pattern maps earlier on May Street, 12th and 13th, and up on Belmont. But on May Street, one thing that's been suggested in the past was a control, a light, a stop sign. But Pat's brought this up. There's no way you could get a truck to stop on that hill, even on good days, to get them back up to speed to finish their way through the Heights.
Especially in the winter time with any ice or snow, you're invariably, when I was at Supply, we'd have one to two trucks a year that have to get towed up the hill because of the ice and the inability to keep the road clean. And that creates a major safety concern if the trucks can't make it up the hill, because there's no other alternative truck route at this time to get large commercial vehicles onto the Heights.
What I find so interesting about this corridor is when you think about the entire city of Hood River, we essentially have all one lane roads everywhere. I can't think of another, correct me someone if I'm wrong, but I was thinking about this today. I can't think of anywhere else where we have a two lane road aside from the interstate. And yet we have one lane roads coming in from Upper Valley and coming in from downtown. And then all of a sudden for this five block section only, it becomes two lanes wide. And so I don't understand how the traffic counts, you know, I don't think the traffic counts would change that much in those five blocks that it would warrant it. So it seems to me that backups are really more an issue of all the jiggity joggity intersections we have. Like when you're coming north on 12th, the fact that it isn't a straight shot for a truck, you know, if the truck drivers probably curse whoever designed those intersections every time they go down it, because, you know, they have to make these weird 90 degree, like double 90 degree turns. And so I always feel like that seems to me the whole issue of the road design isn't so much the two lane versus one lane, is just the fact that there are all these tight corners they have to navigate. But I guess what I was just going to say is, I think to me, goal four is kind of the crux of this whole design. You know, well, and whatever the economy, number one, like it seems to me that the economy and dealing with the transportation design of this is really going to be the two pieces. I think we need to, you know, we need to figure out how are we going to balance this transportation corridor with the fact that it's cutting right through a commercial district and a neighborhood, you know, and how can we be both? How do we find that balance? I think that is the big challenge of this project.
Dina, if I can chime in here, I would, on what you just shared there, I would drop the mic. That's pretty powerful. I've never thought about it or dissected it in the manner that you did, as far as one lane everywhere else and two lane in this five. But one thing I'd like to mention is whatever we do in this little corridor that we're designing now, we have to take into consideration that we need to continue that eventually to the north and south corridor of the Heights. So if we establish a bike lane, for example, it doesn't make any sense for it just to be five blocks long. We need to look at how it's going to go north out towards Rosars, out towards Brookside Drive, and south all the way down to State and Cascade.
The one thing,
how does it connect with the other plan system?
Jack, if I could address something like what Tina was talking about, I understand it is kind of unique that there's the five blocks, but the big issue is I've talked to a lot of long-term residents that were here when it was two-way and the traffic was different. They didn't have the sweeping curve at the end on Belmont, and they had to make 90-degree turns and so forth. I'm sorry, I used to drive truck, and I know what it's like to maneuver around. And when it's a two-lane one-way, like it is now, the trucks are easier to make the corners than if we went back to a two-way system, because they'd have to make those corners again and not have as much turning room. Thus, would be a lot more unsafe situation than it is now, because the trucks are bigger, longer, carry more weight. It is a very serious thing, but you've got to try to calm the traffic, like you say, and make it safe for everybody. But it's also part of this is also we've talked about commerce. You can't impede. And the situation is now, especially with the pandemic, I'm sorry, the trucking situation is scary as all get out in regards to trying to get your supplies in a timely manner. And I've seen trucking companies, I've talked to truckers, places where they have trouble, they lower it down on priority. So if there's trouble getting onto the heights, especially like with hauling fuel and so forth, they'll turn around and say, I can't deliver it until the weather gets better or the road conditions improve. And guess what? Then you sell out of fuel, you're out of fuel, then you can't turn around and conduct business, which hurts you commercially. So this is a whole thing that you really got to turn around and find a good balance to. Mm-hmm. So, and I don't have the answer for it.
And Tina, we do have the two lanes further south, you know, beyond this corridor, going out in front of Rosars and Ace all the way out to Brookside. So it's not just this five block corridor.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
But just we that. Also have to take into consideration, you know, traffic patterns that come off of May Street that turn on to 13th, or that come up the little twist and turn by the hospital. So there's kind of two feeder roads coming up into the Heights that feed 13th and then also exit 12th. So I'm looking forward to the design. I think adding commerce somewhere in Project Goal 4 makes sense. And I agree with Tina that this is kind of the crux of the project up here, not to get not just buy-in from the community, but also the businesses at large.
Great. Thank you. Go ahead, sorry.
Can I make one comment about 13th and May? Jack brought it up about control light or whatever. I sat with the city of Hood River and ODOT when they redesigned that intersection of May and 13th, which it's better than it was, but it's still not the right answer. The one problem was when that was originally redesigned, when you came south up 13th and got to the top of the hill, you could turn and make a right on May or keep going. It was supposed to be that there was no left-hand turn onto May. And that went for about 2 weeks and everybody complained, and then they had to open it up. So that's how that intersection was all designed by ODOT 20 years ago.
Thank you. All right, any other comments on Goal 4? This has been a good discussion.
Commerce needs to be added, in my opinion.
All right. All right, let's move on to Goal 5, 6, and 7. So this is the replacing plumbing in your house kind of goal. You have to do it, but it's not the sexy stuff, but incredibly important. So Goal 5 is support existing and future development by maintaining and improving utility infrastructure as a part of the streetscape project. You know, that's a core tenet often of urban renewal within this area. This was something, you know, I believe with some of the survey comments were also not just underground utilities, but above ground utilities. I believe, I think they're on the street. But you know, is there anything here that we should consider as a part of, in general, utility infrastructure within the project area?
Sounds good to me.
This is something we've discussed for years now, but the, you know, undergrounding utilities, I know, is costly. In the past, we've talked about rerouting some of the utilities, you know, maybe going through some of the alleyways between 12th and 13th. However, we don't have alleyways that run
all the way through.
But we have had some discussions in the past of rerouting a number of the utilities to try to get some of that blight, which I don't think it's feasible financially to underground all the utilities. We would exhaust our funds, our maximum indebtedness, but I think we need to really address that this is more than just curb cuts and crosswalks, that we need, we're going to have to move some of those mm-hmm. above ground utilities.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. My recollection is going back to Amanda's point earlier that people have been surveyed a million times. I do recall that the undergrounding utilities was incredibly popular with the public a few years ago. And I believe the local businesses. Yeah.
We do have great views up there, but they're also like this. I was just trying to take a picture yesterday of the beer can and the mountain, and there's all these power lines. I'm like,
One of the other things about the power, the structure of all those lines overhead, is none of those power supports are in the road. They're all on the sidewalk. And so that takes up all the sidewalk for ADA access, for kids on their scooters and the wagons and people walking and passing each other. So it's not just eye disturbance, but it's really traffic disturbance as a pedestrian.
Good point. I agree.
Yeah.
And I just want to say it's like, yes, it's important to our project, but I also think it's good to get out, like blatantly state the goal and address infrastructure, because that's one of the most common things I hear about any kind of development anywhere is like, but the utilities and the, you know, the infrastructure. And I think we're being like a little proactive here. Like, yes, we're addressing the infrastructure. We're not just ignoring the fact that, and not that we're building, you know, a new stuff, but you know, I don't know. Anyway.
No, but it's, if you're going to tear up the street, make sure you have all the stuff in the road before you put it back in. So.
Yep. And as we look at kind of implementation, kind of, you know, how do chunks of these street improvements move forward, making sure that we're taking care of those utilities at the same time, like Alex just mentioned. So planning for the future.
Mm-hmm. All right. So it sounds like we're in good shape on goal 5.
I'm pretty sure your CAD drawings and flybys of this corridor aren't going to show all the wires that dangle and hang.
That's the beauty. Those are the beautiful parts, right? it's progress. You know, I think about like locations that were built before electricity. And then you think when those poles came in, you know, 100 years ago, how much progress people thought that was. And then as it progresses, it becomes, you know, not so much. So it's interesting how that stuff changes over time. All right, project goal 6, engage local residents and businesses, the school district, and those that use the corridor to provide input on the streetscape project. We touched on this a little bit with additional outreach to businesses. We'll continue to reach out and do this. And I think a couple of things with this goal, you know, when I'm thinking about evaluation criteria, it'll be reviewing our public engagement plan to make sure that, you know, if we're missing certain metrics like Latino residents, you know, how we do additional outreach, or businesses, for example. But this one is, you know, it's very important, but one that is already kind of part of this project. But I want to make sure we're capturing any additional input that this group might have.
You know, one tweak, Alex, I was just thinking, you know, just kind of stating that it's kind of ongoing or continuous input, you know, kind of to remind ourselves that we're doing it throughout the project.
Good catch. Any other comments or suggestions?
Goal 6 looks well written to me.
I concur.
All right, well, let's move on to goal 7. And we do have a few minutes. We could come back to any of these if needed. And the final one, project goal 7, which kind of gets to some of the other elements we had, but it's providing locations for people to gather, stop, and rest. So that gives us specific direction to really think about that as a part of the streetscape. You know, where are our potential gathering places? How do people, congregate within the streetscape in a safe manner? Those are things that gives us direct kind of direction for addressing in those concepts.
And the one other thing I would add is this gets a little bit to that housing goal that was amended to the original urban renewal goals. And we think about, you know, the desire for this to be kind of a mixed use development in the future. And I think kind of recognizing there could be more people on the streets popping out of their own doors, you know, thinking about it in that sense. Mm-hmm. As well.
Our space is so limited geographically in this corridor.
It is.
So I think the ideal place for people to gather and stop is probably not the safest, but this could be those, you know, when we enhance the crosswalks and get our crosswalks back, maybe we do the, what do you call those little things? Parklets or curb cuts?
Yep.
Build outs, you know, maybe there's like a bench, maybe there's something on each side.
Yep.
But yeah, geographically, there's not a whole bunch of property available for like a farmer's market, or not in this specific corridor of it.
Yeah, I absolutely agree. You know, one thing that has come up that we've talked about, and I think we're excited to explore a little bit, is, you know, just as the alleys become a different space to be used, and mm-hmm. it could be a one that, you know, doesn't have the kind of same hour demand that the road or streetscape does.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think remember, that it's gonna have all the utility lines down the alleys.
In a beautiful, you know, lit pattern, right? you know, I think, you know, it's a good point. I think it gets to my earlier comment about, you know, how people have been rethinking right of way, you know, over the past year, you know, and how that supports businesses, how it supports, you know, commerce, how it supports walkability. I think that this one starts to drive home. It's like, yeah, where do we want to provide those benefits, you know, for folks who are visiting the area, either tourists or living there, or you know, just traveling through. And so I think this is something that through the concepts we'll be able to, you know, play around with a bit to see how that shapes up. Any other comments on goal 7?
Now, one other thing that comes to mind, you know, we also have the opportunity on those intersecting east-west streets and the blocks between 12th and 13th, that there might be some kind of different opportunities to kind of mm-hmm. look at kind of building on this one a little bit more than we can in our kind of constrained kind of 60. I mean, there's still 60 foot or even 50 foot right-of-ways east-west, but there's a little bit less kind of demand on resources.
Yeah, those side streets I think are going to be important elements. All right. Nathan, do you want to talk about next steps? I can share my screen after that too. I've been taking some notes.
Yeah. So yeah, so we will be from this feedback, we're going to be going back and tweaking the goals that we've just talked through to take to the board. So that's kind of our, I don't want to say immediate next step, because I think the immediate next step is reaching out and kind of continuing with the business outreach and trying to kind of expand on that. You know, and I kind of want to restate that, you know, even if we're not able to get people's kind of feedback now, we want to make sure that we're kind of engaged and we're reaching out and we're identifying the people who do want to be, so that when we get to the next phase, they know we've tried and they have an opportunity then as well to make sure it's, you know, we don't want the kind of angry voices that say we didn't reach out the first time. So business stakeholder outreach, additional outreach there, and then refinement of these goals to take to the board. And then I think from that, we have as kind of a final deliverable for phase one is kind of doing kind of a summary of phase one, kind of to get the board's approval to proceed with phase two of the project. So that's kind of, you know, I don't think although I was going to say, we weren't planning to kind of do the goals and the kind of phase one summary in the same meeting. The goals did go relatively well here. So it'll be interesting to kind of huddle back up with Dustin and Will and Alex and the team and just kind of see if that's something we can kind of look into. And you can, I mentioned that just because, do we schedule an extra meeting for the board, a special meeting, or do we wait another month? And then the other thing that's kind of coming up that we talked about is the kind of parking study. And so DKS is the traffic consultant on the team. I spoke with them the other day. We're going to kind of get some options for kind of level of effort on parking study. And I think there's this kind of baseline. We want to kind of be able to speak to existing numbers and kind of existing usage. And I think there's something in between there and a full-blown parking study that we probably want to kind of be able to support us and have the conversations that we need to with the stakeholders as we move forward. So that's next steps. Any questions from anyone? And again, when we started talking, this was kind of a, 12 to 18 month project. I think things have been a little bit slower moving through this process, just kind of the pace to be able to kind of connect with people virtually. So we're still kind of, I think we still probably have, 10 to 12 months ahead of us. And then the one other meeting that would be coming up, that would be this kind of optional, we're thinking of as an optional meeting with both the board and the advisory committee, is talking more about kind of the design process and how kind of ODOT design process kind of plays into that, and kind of what concerns or limitations are there from that based on the project goals. And we'll be looking to use these goals as kind of a filter mechanism to kind of have that discussion. And does the design guidance standards allow this project to kind of achieve its outcomes working through standard ODOT process? And if not, what do we think about that?
Nathan, yeah. Can you expand a little bit on, you started to say about ODOT getting defensive or wanting to take more control over diagonal parking?
Oh, no, not, they weren't, that's just a statement. So one of our early tasks was kind of reviewing past documents and design standards and kind of setting the context for us. And that, the ODOT design manual does not allow angle parking as a kind of standard application on state highways. So it's just kind of a standard. It requires a deviation approval, and there's a bunch of things that go into consideration with that related to context. And I forget the year, the ODOT design manual hasn't been updated for several years. There's sort of this interim document called the Blueprint for Urban Design that was published to kind of recognize the need for something more current that really focuses more on kind of context for corridors, specifically corridors like 12th and 13th that are going through communities and are the main business districts. And so they allow, the state has the final say on what the kind of context is. And there are six general kind of types of contexts that kind of an area can fall into. And so we've requested that context designation from ODOT. So we're waiting on that. And that kind of allows for more flexibility than the ODOT design manual. So kind of based on that context designation, there's more flexibility for us to design within and have those conversations. Does that help?
Thank you very much. Yeah.
Okay. I got it. And this goes back to, Nathan and Alex had mentioned this workshop meeting and regulations. I think it's really important to know, and I think it's important for us to advertise, some of the rules and regs aren't necessarily that are going to influence how this design look or could look, really have to do with ODOT as a partner, and not in just anecdotal ways, in real ways. Having an understanding of why the design changes and for the city and the board, and how do we address that? Do we accept those conventions, or is it something that we need to really address and saying, listen, there could come a point where it's our outcome in order to be compliant and ODOT allowed. is really like unacceptable. I mean, we may get to that point, or these things are where we have to push back and deal with. And I think that's why that meeting becomes really important. We're going to take our goals, our dreams, our aspirations, the community, and we're going to put it through a regulation filter. And we're going to have to see what comes out. When dreams and bureaucracy, collide, we're going to have to see what comes out of there and decide, to some extent, is this satisfactory? Is this a satisfactory outcome? So it's really, as a practitioner, it's really exciting. And as a community member, it's something where you kind of have to keep those hats differently, as this is the look in of your city, and this is the vision we're kind of creating and casting for a really long time. Like, this is a moment in time when all the talk is going to turn into a design that will outlive us all. And so this is really, it's really important to understand, the things we're working against and working for us.
Thanks, Dustin. I'm thinking along the lines of Tina that, it's probably not an arbitrary thing that diagonal parking on a through highway, it limits the passage space for the through moving trucks and all. But in order to parallel park, you have to be diagonal in that same roadway, and you have to get diagonal to get out of the parking space as well. And if you could just stay there, one, it slows people down because it's a narrower path. And two, it's safer to get in and out of your vehicle, and it doesn't take as long to park or to leave the parking spot. So I just appreciate you guys fleshing that out a little bit and realizing that might be a fight worth having. And hopefully it's not a fight, but a logic contest, because that's an easy win.
It's a conversation, right? It's a
logic contest. We're getting dangerous now. My connection's getting bad on this end when we start talking.
All right. Well, with that, thank you so much for the time. Are there any other comments or questions about kind of where we're at or next steps for moving forward? We'll defer all logic to next meeting.
Yeah. Just as a quick calendar update, the meeting that we talked about regarding the Urban Renewal Agency Board is going to be on June 14th. Just so, that's really the next kind of key public milestone.
All right. Well, with that, thank you so much, Chair. Turn it back over to you.
Okay. We get back to my agenda. All right. We're almost done. Items from members. Is there any other conversation or items from members at large?
I don't think this is an item, but I was going to privately reply to Amanda, but I think it might be worth mentioning it here. You had asked about visiting businesses, Amanda, and Jack, you might want to just take this away from me. Didn't you ask about having a meeting, and then Will came back and said we can't do that because it needs to be a public meeting and we'd have to invite people ahead of time?
I think it was anytime there was a quorum.
Okay.
That's my understanding. So there could be, Dustin, correct me if I'm wrong, but three of us could meet and visit with businesses and have conversations.
I got to make sure it's not two. Two is a good space. Three is a majority of a quorum, which may be a meeting that you may not be able to take action on. I'll double check for you. Two, okay. Good. Three, maybe we may be close. I'll confirm and get back to you all on that.
And then could we... how difficult is it for us to, if we wanted to have something at Pine Street or something at Volcanic, just to have you, to let you know, how much time do you need to get a public announcement out?
You're on mute.
By law, it's got to be 48 hours in advance notice. And the public has to be aware. So I would need a little time.
So if we wanted as a URAC committee, if we wanted to do a walkabout or just have a conversation, we could put that out as a public meeting.
Yep.
Okay. Clint, I think there's some opportunities for us to kind of do what we've talked about. And we could instead of dancing through the hoops of limiting us, we could just make it a public meeting.
Yeah. I just wanted to throw that out there so there's no whoops, we should have told you that. That's all.
Okay.
Yeah, and let's not have the whoops, we should have told you that. We had a public meeting. It's called a secret meeting, and it's really bad.
All right, no secret meetings, and you need more than 48 hours notice. Okay. Our next meeting.
Say that I'm just really happy that we're meeting because it feels like it's been forever, and I'm just glad that this meeting happened and to get this update and, to see what's been happening. I know things have been happening, but it's really good to get caught up and to hear about all the everything. So thank you.
Thank you.
On that note, does the city have any plans for public meetings? In person?
Not right now. I mean, it's really pretty early. It's just really tricky when it comes to changes. Good news is Hood River is really far along in terms of public vaccination rates. But in terms of transitioning and trying to accommodate, and I mentioned this before, is, you know, trying to cross over of, do you continue to have online meetings and in-person meetings, and how do you balance those? So what is your audience? We all look at the camera here and we all look it out, but if you have live audience, how do you, you know, having one foot in the digital realm and the analog world is something we haven't really, we're looking at it. It will happen. How it does and how it's rolled out is TBD. So we're looking at it right now. How do we go back to the way things were or similar to the way things were, and really adopt some of this technology that's really improved access for a lot of people. So,
okay. Our next meeting, is that scheduled for June 17th?
I think that's the regularly scheduled meeting.
Nothing between now and then, unless we send you an email?
Yeah, if you're planning on doing that too, I think you may want to just be, we're going to have the business stakeholder group. We're going to have that, you know, and I'm hoping to have that queued up in the next week or two. So that would probably be the next action. So I'm assuming you all have interest in spreading, you've said you have interest in spreading the word. So getting some of those key and really hear some more of those voices is going to be important. So keep you working.
You guys were kind of considering or proposing that kind of walkabout as kind of a business focused or just in general focused group.
You know, I'll start this, but I think it was just to enable conversation between the Heights businesses that are affected in this corridor, because there's, you know, a lot of voices, all of us in the Heights with respective businesses, our ears get tugged on by individuals. It'd be mm-hmm. nice just to control that conversation a little bit more as opposed to being reactionary to it.
I have a question about
Amanda and Clint. I was going to lean on you guys. You guys are in the Heights. I'm sure you're getting asked questions up and down.
And I definitely get feedback about things, and yeah, but it sounds like that might be a business stakeholder meeting, or maybe, I don't know.
I'm open to anything. I mean, our business is 100% vaccinated at this point. We're allowing our employees to be unmasked after hours if they're in the back amongst themselves. I think some of this came from the what's now called the Heights Business Association, which I don't really know if it's a thing, but it may be a group of some businesses in the Heights that don't participate vocally or publicly, to my knowledge, none of us are affiliated with it, but we want to be included in the discussion, the businesses that are there and that wish to be included. So that, I think that's driving a little bit of it, but I also want to agree that there's a lot of fatigue about this whole process because it's been going on for so long, and people are, you know, restating the same thing over and over again, gets tired. So you just stop after a while, but it's nice that we're making tangible progress now towards some reality of change.
Dustin, can I ask a question about the you mentioned the June 14th meeting. Is that when what we did tonight is going to the board, or is that the talk about the goals and the ODOT and all that stuff?
Goals. So we'll be kind of getting confirmation and approval on goals on the 14th. The ODOT will be a separate, that kind of regulatory process will be separate.
Okay, so we don't need to be at the one on the 14th. Is that right?
Correct.
Okay. Right. Yeah.
I think I got confused. I thought that was the ODOT talk where we're all together, but that's not.
Okay. Nope, that will kind of be an optional joint kind of informational session is kind of how we're thinking of it. And the reason I say sort of optional informational is there's not, you know, it was kind of clear that, you know, when we meet with the board, we're looking for kind of action or confirmation on things, kind of getting answers to questions. And so this is doesn't really fall in that core category for that regulatory process one.
I'll say one last thing before I check out. I got to go, but I was not part of the URAC when the last group was involved in the planning stages before it went away and you guys came on, but Alex and Nathan and Dustin as well, you guys are impressive. It's good work.
Thanks. Appreciate that.
Cool. Cool.
Don't get them all inflated. It's early.
They give us time.
We keep it humble and ugly local.
Yeah.
Well, Justin, I was looking forward to meet with you in person soon. So
Dustin, anything else for the good of the order?
No, I think that could be my swan song there. Thank you all.
All right. If there's nothing else, I'll go ahead and adjourn the meeting.
All right.
Okay.
That's all. Have a good evening.
Thanks, everybody. Good seeing y'all. Good night.